the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 789. 789. O ye sons of men, be wise. Trust no longer dreams and lies. Out of Christ almighty power can do nothing but devour. 789.
Thank you. us to read from his holy word, the book of the prophet Daniel, chapter 12. Daniel, chapter 12. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two. The one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth for ever, that it shall be for a time, times and an half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth, and cometh to the 1335 days. But go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O Lord God Almighty, thou who hast made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, who hast spoken by thy servant David the psalmist, why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? Against the Lord and against his Christ, all we pray, grant that tonight we may be granted the stillness from all the raging of the fallen nature of man against God and his Christ. Holy Spirit, come and grant us the calm of trusting in thee. Thou said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. Enable us so to do. Even as we enter into this service, Lord, we beseech thee, come to our aid. Let not this poor sinner trust in anything but thee. And let not the people in the pews trust in anyone but thee. Deliver us in thy mercy from trusting in self or some other creature. We pray for the faith of Jesus Christ. Lord, thou didst trust in thy Father with a perfect, unwavering trust. That we might so believe. It is thy gift, Lord, we pray for it. Increase our faith. Give our straitened bosom room to credit what the Saviour saith, whose words can never fail. We pray that thou wouldst be blessedly and savingly with us this evening. Lord, that thou wouldst reveal thy Son unto us, that thou wouldst sanctify us, make Christ our sanctification, blessed Spirit of truth. Lord, we pray, do feed the souls of thy people, satisfy thy poor with bread, and Lord, grant a drink of that living water, just a drop, Lord, to those that thirst, but not as once they did, who thirst for God, for the living God, the guilty among us, Lord, feelingly so, who thirst for God to pardon them, the feelingly wrong among us, who thirst for God to be their righteousness. Lord, the dead who thirst for God to be their resurrection. Lord, the bound who thirst for God to free them. The burdened who thirst for God to take their burden off their shoulders. Lord, we pray for that liberty of the Son of God, freeing his people from all their burden, from all the chains that bind them so fast. The chains, Lord, of our poor fallen nature. Put spiritual life in us. Put faith in us. Grant that seeing. Everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may not perish, but have everlasting life. And that seeing that causes thy people to endure, as Moses endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Lord, the lost among us who thirst for thy salvation. Lord, the perplexed who thirst for thy interpretation. Lord, thou didst say, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. We pray that thou wouldst bring sinners to thee tonight. Bring us to thee, Lord, to drink of the fountainhead. Lord, make us sick of the cistern waters and all the mire they bring. Lord, grant the sinners may by the power of the Spirit stretch their thirsty neck and taste a living spring. We're dependent on thee, Lord. Oh, we plead thy words to the woman at the well. If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Oh, Lord, give us that living water. Speak, Lord, into our souls with thy divine power, with thy compassion, with thy pity. Lord, speak forgiveness. Oh, turn and claim us as thy portion. Let us lay claim to thee. Lord, speak those answers to the petitions that thy people have made. Lord, oh, be not silent to us. Oh, there is life in thy words to thy people when thou dost speak words of reproof. Oh, Lord, we pray then, speak, Lord. Grant us thankfulness. This another opportunity to meet together in thy house, a privilege. Let us each esteem it so. Let us each find it so. For, Lord, it isn't the place. It is thee, the master of the place. Come, Lord, and be the master of this assembly. And then, Lord, we shall indeed esteem it a privilege. Lord, may we see no man save Jesus only. We thank thee for thy preserving mercies over us. Since we last met earlier in the year in this place, and thou knowest all that each one of us have been brought through since then, and we bless thee and praise thy blessed holy name for thy sparing, preserving, upholding mercy. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me. For every blessing under thy word, Lord, thou help day by day. Continue thy mercies to this people. We thank thee for opening the doors of thy house once again. And we pray, Lord, have mercy still. Sanctify to each one of us thy judgments. Lord, as one looks down on this congregation, not looking down on them, Lord, in the sense of feeling to be above them, thou knowest. Lord, what a reminder we have that thy judgment is still upon us. Lord, are we in that condition thou dost speak by thy servant Amos? Thou dost speak of all those repeated judgments, and dost say, yet hast thou not returned unto me. Lord, if that is so concerning any of us, let this latest judgment, this latest reminder of thy controversy with us, be blessed to us. We may return to thee. Lord, may come to thee in that way we've had set before us in the hymn. But Lord, there is no other way of returning unto thee but that the hymn writer set forth. Worship God then in his Son. There is love. There alone. Oh, we pray, bring us to Calvary by living faith. Grant, Lord, the repair of the sheep gate, that gate through which those offerings were brought to the temple. Oh, in our soul's experience, oh, may there be that blessed, true Holy Spirit. Union with Christ who died and who rose again. May we truly be crucified with him. Nevertheless to live, yet not I but Christ to live in me. O Lord, and all those other gates following on from the repair of that sheep gate. Lord, we pray that there was built again the walls of Jerusalem, set up again those blessed gates, the fish gate, the old gate, the dung gate, and all those other gates. Lord, each one vital. Oh, we pray for that thorough cleansing. We pray, Lord, for that taking out of our hearts of all those things which are corrupt, the stinking savour of the flesh in all its workings and thoughts and desires, its enmity, its pride, its lust, its deceitfulness, its carnality. Lord, we pray for the humility of Christ. We pray, Lord, to be made godly. Lord, thou hast said by thy servant Paul, godliness with contentment is great gain. Oh, we pray for it. Make us Christ-like. There is no other godliness. Oh, we pray, give us thy blessed heart, Lord, thy blessed mind. Lord, thy blessed eyes, thy blessed feet, thy blessed hands, work in us, Lord, to will and do of thy good pleasure. Lord, make us love God by thy love to us. Make us grieve over our sins and mourn for thee, Lord, by the gift of that grace, godly sorrow, that leadeth to repentance, not to be repented of. Make us to believe with that most holy faith, the faith of God's elect, his first elect and all his people in him. Lord, oh, make us humble. Lord, that blessed humility that thou didst so perfectly manifest when thou wast here on earth. Oh, do give it to us. Lord, thou didst say, I am a worm and no man. Do give us that grace. For what a blessing thou dost speak to thy worms. Fear not, worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, for I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Lord, then be with us. Give us thy honesty, Lord. Thy name is faithful and true. Lord, that is say of Nathanael, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. Lord, save us from our guile. Give us the guilelessness of Christ. Lord, oh, we pray, create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit, the heart and the spirit of the Lord. Lord, bless this people. Help them, Lord. Keep them, preserve them. Lord, be a wall of fire round about them. Keep them as the apple of thine eye. Sanctify to them all thy dealings with them. Grant them the one thing needful, to sit at Jesus' feet and hear his words. Lord, amidst the sorrows of the way, teach them to pray. And let them run to Christ and find him as their hiding place. And say to the storm, be still. Lord, do the pilot's part for perform, and guard and guide through every storm. Give thy people patience, Lord. Help them to wait upon thee and wait for thee. And Lord, do let thy work appear here still. And let the glory of the Lord be upon them, the beauty of the Lord be upon them. Lord, provide for them still. Bless the families. Keep our children. Save them if it could please thee by thy irresistible grace. Maintain the living among them. Give life to the dead. Bring back thy prodigals. Bring thy sons from far and thy daughters from the ends of the earth. Even everyone whom thou hast loved with an everlasting love. Lord, make thy people a fruitful people. Lord, this is thy will. Thy people shall bear much fruit. Oh Lord, we pray for it. That we be but the feeblest branch of thine. Oh, teach us, blessed Spirit, to clasp our feeble arms around that living vine, the Lord Jesus Christ. For if we do, we must be a fruitful branch, even though the feeblest of them all. Lord, we pray for it. Lord, we ask for the glory of thy great name. We grieve, Lord, because of how much we each bring reproach on thy name, our unbelief, our worldliness, and all those other sins, when we keep silent when we ought to speak and when we say what we did not ought to say. Lord, what reproach we bring on thy name. Lord, we would not have it so. We ask the forgiveness of it. And Lord, when we murmur, when we profess to have such a good God, what reproach. Lord, oh, we pray, have pity upon us and help us, save us, we beseech thee. Oh, do undertake then, look upon Zion. Lord, surely it is not unlike Nehemiah's day when he said, ye see the distress we're in. Jerusalem lieth waste, the gates thereof are burned with fire. Oh, grant yet thy people may be as he was, the good hand of our God upon us. That we may, Lord, by thy grace, be helped to say as he did, come, let us build up the walls and repair the gates. Lord, give us that fervency of spirit. Give us that realization of what has need to be done. Give us that realization of how alone it can be done. So make us like Nehemiah, to say to the people, remember the Lord, to call upon him continually, and Lord, to cleave to the word of God. Oh, we thank thee for that blessed word, the fullness of it and the certainty of it. Lord, the eternity of it. Thy word forever, O Lord, is settled in heaven. Oh, bless us tonight. Could it please thee, Lord, to have pity upon us and upon the inhabitants of the world? Could it please thee, Lord, in remembering thy covenant? Lord, for thy name's sake, for we do not present our petitions for our name's sake, for our righteousnesses, but for thy righteousness, for thy great name. Lord, if it will please thee, do lift thy judgment. Lord, that these measures that have had to be in place may be removed. Lord, that we may sing once more in thy house. Lord, that we may not have to wear these coverings on our faces. There may not be those limitations. We may not have to keep so separate. Lord, it is thy judgment. Lord, convince us each personally of our sin. Grant us repentance. the forgiveness of our sin. Lord, we look to thee. Art thou not God alone? Hast thou not made heaven and earth? Hast thou not said concerning this matter, let it come? Lord, give us patience till thou dost say, let it be removed. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. We plead, Lord, as we remember our young friend expecting her child. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst help her at this time. Lord, that thou wouldst uphold her and strengthen her. And at thy appointed time, grant that safe delivery of a healthy, living child. Spare life and give life, we do beseech thee. And may there be a spiritual blessing in it, in that family. Lord, and may the child be born to be born again, if it is thy holy, perfect will. Help mothers and fathers in these solemn times, our young people and children. Oh, do give them the grace they need to live in the midst of this wicked and perverse generation. We ask in Jesus' worthy and precious name. Amen.
Hymn 854. Jesus, Lord of life and peace, to thee we lift our voice. Teach us of thy holiness to tremble and rejoice. Sweet and terrible is thy word. Thou and thy word are both the same. Holy, holy, holy Lord, we love thy holy name. 854.
Thank you.
In dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you this evening to the chapter we read, the book of Daniel, chapter 12. Reading verses 12 and 13. Daniel 12, verses 12 and 13. Blessed is he that waiteth, and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. These are the words of the Lord himself to his servant Daniel. Here he was appearing in this form of a man, this man clothed in linen. Jehovah said, "Ken you, the Lord our righteousness," which was upon the waters of the river. He sitteth upon the flood, he is above all, he has dominion over all. When he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, setting forth his high priestly office, his prevailing intercession, his prevailing prayers when here on earth to his Father. Remember John 17, that wonderful intercessory prayer of the great high priest. And swear by him that liveth forever. The Lord Jesus Christ ever spoke in the name of his Father. He said, "The testimony of two men is true. I speak not mine own testimony. I speak the testimony of him that sent me." And he goes on to speak to Daniel in mysterious language. Why is that? Well, Daniel didn't understand it, did he? He didn't comprehend what those figures meant. Times and times and a half. The scattering of the power of the holy people, the finishing of all these things, clearly referring to the end of all things. The Lord doesn't intend anyone here on this earth to know the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. What wisdom there is in this. Each generation have the word of the Lord given unto them, that is, each generation of the Lord's people. Watch therefore. For ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. But the Lord graciously and kindly again spoke to Daniel in answer to his perplexities, in answer to his distresses. And he didn't answer him by giving him a date. He didn't answer him by unfolding further, in further detail, what was going to happen. He answered him in the way our text speaks of. Really, the particular words that have rested on my spirit in coming here this evening, and they've been with me the last week or so. Blessed is he that waiteth. Blessed is he that waiteth. A blessing is that which comes down from heaven. All true saving religion comes down from heaven. It doesn't spring out of our poor fallen nature. The hymn writer says, doesn't he, "My heart, a most degenerate root, produces only cankered fruit." The Son of God came down from heaven. No man hath ascended to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, He came down from heaven and took the nature of man without union, without sin, into union with himself. And in doing so, all his church passed through this wilderness with Christ. And that word of the apostle to the Corinthians will be fulfilled in each one of them. He was referring, of course, to the Jews. They all drank of that rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ. Where I am, there shall my servant be. Why? Because of the eternal union. And because of the a wonderful truth that the Son of God took the nature of man into union with himself. In all points tempted like his people are, yet without sin. Paul says in writing to the Hebrews, both he who sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. Blessed is he that waiteth. The Son of God came down from heaven. The Spirit of God descends from heaven to quicken the Lord's people into newness of life and to bring that sinner and Christ together. How shall a sinner come to Christ? No one ever came to Christ by their own initiative. I am found of them that sought me not, he says. I said, behold me unto a people that inquired not after me. The psalmist said, when thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. All from above, blessing. And it is blessing, my dear friend. Oh, the blessing of the Lord from heaven. You see it in the Old Testament as God himself pronounced a blessing upon his people. You think of how he spoke to Abraham. In blessing, I will bless thee. And what was it he was referring to? Above all else, and indeed every blessing that he was referring to in speaking to Abraham, was couched in that one blessing. And in thy seed, the seed of Abraham, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That's the blessing, my dear friend. It's nothing less than that. The only person that is in the compass of this text, the Blessed One, is the one who is one of Christ's seed, one of the Lord's people, loved of God with an everlasting love, chosen of God in his dear Son, begotten again by the work of the Holy Spirit, and brought into a living union by communion with God through Christ. This is the blessing. Now, some of the Lord's people have it before they know it. And many a child of God is found in the compass of this text, but they don't feel to be blessed. But they are, says the Holy Ghost, if they're waiting. Blessed is he that waiteth. They would not wait unless they were blessed. They would not wait except they were blessed. As the Lord pronounced it to Abraham, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because what the Holy Spirit does when he blesses a person with spiritual life at the new birth and all his work that proceeds on from that blessed beginning, is to give to that person their possessions, which are Christ. That little prophecy of Obadiah, just one chapter. And it contains one verse which I'm now going to quote you. The house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. The possession which is Christ was given to the house of Jacob from all eternity. Thine they were, says the Son to the Father. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. Christ was given to them in the mind of God, and he was, and they were given to him. One glorious eternal transaction. Mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. And it's the Holy Ghost that puts them in possession of their possessions. And in their soul's experience, they are put into the possession of those possessions, little by little. But every single part of that possession is Christ. It has pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Now, I quoted that verse next just now from Hebrews 2 for a particular reason. Which speaks of Christ and his church being one. They're all of one. Christ was the perfect waiter. Blessed is he that waiteth. Christ was and still is the perfect waiter. Though he is co-equal and co-eternal with the Father, in his redemptive work here on this earth, which required his exceeding humiliation, he made that tremendous stoop and came down into the place of his church under the law, in their nature without sin. He had to wait. He delighted to wait. He did wait continually and perfectly upon his Father and for his Father. Blessed is he that waiteth. When we look back in the Word of God in such chapters as Proverbs 8, consider how the Son of God was waiting then. Waiting for the moment when his Father would send him from heaven to this earth. He says he delighted in the habitable part of the earth. His delights were with the sons of men. He rejoiced in those habitable parts of the earth. He rejoiced in that coming that lay before him. Though that coming was such an exceeding humiliation, though that coming meant that he would be from the moment of his birth to the moment of his death, that man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, though he knew when he come that his own would receive him not, but he knew that there was a people on that earth whom his Father had given him. He loved them with an everlasting love. But he had to wait for the time. Paul writes into the Galatians, he says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. Now, do you not think, my dear friend, that Christ was waiting? Do you not think the Son of God was waiting? Oh, he was. Blessed is he that waiteth. There was a prospect before him, a prospect of fulfilling his Father's purpose, a prospect of redeeming his church from all her misery, the prospect of honouring that law which he himself with his Father and the Holy Spirit had given, a prospect of shedding that blood which he would take to redeem his bride from all her iniquity, a prospect for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame. Blessed is he that waiteth. You see, he perfectly knew what was before. And in their measure, this is what makes the Lord's people these waiters that our text speaks of. God, by regenerating them, by giving them his own spirit, by creating within them that new and living principle, putting within them a new heart and a new spirit, they are given to perceive things which are unseen. They are given to believe in things which are unseen. And this is what they wait concerning. Blessed is he that waiteth. If we consider the path the Lord Jesus trod, it's a deep mystery, my dear friend, but there is beauty in every single aspect of truth concerning the person and the life here on this earth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask the Lord, my dear friend, to lead you into these things. I'll tell you how he'll do it. He'll bring you into situations where these truths will be made so precious and so sweet to me. I may have told you before, but when I first sent out into the ministry by the Lord, I was still working 5 days a week. And after preaching 3 services one Lord's day, I had to get up early Monday morning and drive off to my weekly work. And I felt weary. And I could take you to the spot now where the Holy Spirit revived me with these words, and Jesus, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. A brother born for adversity. Not one who did not know what it was to feel weary, but one who well knew what it was to feel weary. There's no place between the womb and the grave the child of God comes into but what the Lord Jesus Christ has been there. Oh, he didn't do any sin. No. So we might say, to clear any confusion there, sin excepted. But nevertheless, when a child of God is feelingly guilty, the Saviour through imputed sin has felt that sorrow, he has felt that reproach, he has known that awful burden of sin in a deeper way than anyone else has. Blessed is he that waiteth. You see, from a babe, he must wait. We read he grew in stature and in wisdom and in favour with God and with men. The hymn writer says, doesn't he, behold from what beginning small our great salvation rose. And the hymn writer goes on to develop that point. Because even in that, oh, I can't explain it to you, my dear friend, but the word of God declares it, even in that, the Saviour has trod that path before his people, in which they feel they're beginning to be so small, to know so little. But he grew in wisdom and in stature. Blessed is he that waiteth. All those years, those days he waited. It was a comparatively short period of his life when he was actually preaching the gospel. He is content to let his forerunner, John the Baptist, preach while he remains silent. Blessed is he that waiteth. You see the pattern there for a man who's exercised about the ministry. The Lord himself did not go forth till his Father sent him. He waited. Blessed is he that waiteth. There came that time in his experience when he was baptized in the River Jordan. Why not before? It was the Father's appointed time. People sometimes mistake the time. They say, oh, such and such and one. They truly fear God. They truly believe on the Son of God. They ought to have been baptized long ago. No, my dear friend. The Psalm 110 says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Blessed is he that waiteth. His disciples were impatient, weren't they? He said, your time is always ready. My time is not yet. Being in that perfect union with his Father and in being perfectly obedient to him, he couldn't take a step without his Father's bidding. When he must needs go through Samaria, when he must need go far off into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, it was with perfect timing. His Father sent him. Blessed is he that waiteth. When the news came to him that Lazarus was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place. And when he did return, full well knowing that Lazarus was dead, what did Martha and Mary say? In effect, they said, Lord, you're too late. If thou hadst been here, Lord, our brother had not died. Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Blessed is he that waiteth. If he had come before, his purpose would not have been fulfilled. The purpose of his Father would not have been fulfilled. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God should be glorified thereby. In that waiting then was not only the timing, but it was the things that he passed through. Blessed is he that waiteth. He waited upon his Father. His disciples would not have him do so. When he told them that he was going to wait upon his Father and in that be crucified and rise again the third day, they said, this shall not be to thee. But he waited upon his Father. Oh, my dear friend, what a blessing. My dear friend, surely the Lord Jesus Christ, though his sufferings were so unspeakably intense, did he not consider it to be a blessing to die for his people? What does he say after he has risen from the dead? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Blessed is he that waiteth. Now, how his people follow him in this waiting. How they follow him in this waiting. The Lord sets before them that for which they must wait. The promise the Lord gives. The promise of salvation. The promise of his appearing. The promise of the fulfillment of his covenant. That is the ground upon which they wait. And they have to wait in their measure in the same way as Christ waited. They cannot add to their stature one cubit. They have to wait for the Lord to increase them, to give them growth. Blessed is he that waiteth for the Lord's work to appear. How the Saviour perfectly waited upon his Father in prayer. Blessed is he that waiteth. What a man of prayer Daniel was. Why? What made Daniel a man of prayer? Christ made Daniel a man of prayer. The Holy Ghost made Daniel a man of prayer. The Trinity in unity. Because Daniel was greatly beloved, because Daniel was chosen in Christ, because Daniel was redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, because Daniel was begotten of the Spirit, and under the blessed sanctification of the Spirit, he was a man of prayer. Doesn't the hymn writer say, all our prayer and all our praise rightly offered in his name, he that dictates them is Jesus, he that hears them is the same. They wait upon God as Christ waited upon him. You know, if Christ had never prayed, none of his people would ever pray. If Christ had not desired, and he does desire, he did desire. I understand that expression in Daniel, and it appears three times, I think, in Daniel. The Lord speaks of Daniel as, O man greatly beloved. And in the original language, that's man of desires. The desire of the Lord was toward Daniel from all eternity. Look how Jesus speaks to his disciples regarding the Passover and that particular Passover. When he was to institute the Lord's Supper, he said, with desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And because of that, you see, a desire, you know what a desire is, but what does a desire, where does a desire look? If you have a desire, you don't have the possession of that, do you? You don't desire something you've already got. When Christ said, with desire have I desired, he was referring to that time before they came together in that upper room. And so in the desires, there is a necessity, a waiting. Blessed is he that waiteth. And the Lord knows how many of us in this congregation are blessed with this blessing. We are waiting. Waiting. Because we are given a desire for something we don't have. A desire for a person we don't have. The desire of all nations shall come. But he's already come in putting into the hearts of his people the desire for his coming. And all we have, the apostle says, doesn't he? We have received grace for grace, grace upon grace. Blessed is he that waiteth in prayer. Sometimes the Lord's people have to wait a long time. Sometimes the Lord's people don't have to wait any time. The Lord says in the prophecy of Isaiah, before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking. And of course in chapter 9, Daniel experienced that. While he was praying that wonderful prayer by the inspiration of the Spirit. And while he was on that ground, the ground of atonement, the time of the evening oblation. While he was yet speaking, the man Gabriel came and answered his petition while he was yet praying. But undoubtedly, there were times when Daniel prayed and he had to wait a long time. Remember, Daniel was one who lived the whole 70 years of the captivity. Daniel was one who waited. He waited upon his God. What an effect waiting had upon him. Now that's part of the blessedness of waiting. Because if you are one of these blessed waiters upon God and waiters for God, it regulates your life. What is the spirit of the world? Live for the present. What is the spirit of this waiter in our text? It isn't live for the present, is it? There isn't life for the present with this waiter. He's living upon Christ, upon the promises of God in him, upon the blessed deliverance of the Lord promises in him, upon that blessed eternal banquet. That's what this waiter, and you see, that's how it regulates your life. If your soul is in the posture of waiting upon God and waiting for God, what is this world to you? You say, I thirst, but not as once I did. This world to enjoy. No. Thirsting for God. Blessed is he that waiteth. Waiteth then in prayer. Waiteth then in prayer. What's the blessing? My dear friend, you're at the feet of the Lord when you're in prayer. There is no more blessed place this side of heaven. Do not remember, child of God, when you found it so. Shame to you and shame to me. That the throne of grace isn't such a pleasant place to us as it once was. It isn't the place that we delighted to spend our day, our hours at. Blessed is he that waiteth, because he's in the right posture. His eyes up unto the Lord. He's blessed because no one that waits upon the Lord will wait in vain. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and make his flesh his arm. He shall be as the heath in the desert, that skeleton tree that never bears any leaves, let alone fruit. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. He shall be as a tree planted by the waters. He shall not be careful in the year of drought. He shall not cease from yielding fruit. You say, is a person who's waiting upon God planted by the waters? Yes, he is. You can't wait upon God without trusting in him. But as the Psalms say, the psalmist said, as the eyes of her maid look unto her mistress, and as the eyes of a servant unto his Lord, so our eyes wait upon thee until thou have mercy upon us. The Lord says they won't wait in vain. My dear friend, you'll wait for happiness in the things of this world, and it'll never come in the fullness. Oh, there is happiness, don't mistake my meaning. But not the true and the blessed and the complete happiness. Not the happiness of your quickened soul. Not the peace of God that passeth all understanding. But the soul that waiteth upon God, they shall have that true peace, that true happiness. Blessed is he that waiteth. He's blessed then. Because what he waits for, he'll get. What he waits upon God for, he'll get. They wait for a word from his mouth. Wasn't that what Daniel was doing for in prayer? Looking for, waiting for. As we said just now, God in his mercy immediately answered him. You say, well, he hasn't immediately answered me, but is he causing you to wait? Do you want that thing you've asked for sufficiently to wait for it? You think of Jacob. His affections were set on Rachel. And Rachel's father, Laban, says, you must serve me for 7 years. You can't have Rachel until you've served me for 7 years. And the Holy Spirit tells us those 7 years seemed as no time at all, or words to that effect. Why? Because of his love for Rachel. Waiting, love was the foundation of Christ's waiting. And love is the foundation of his people's waiting. You won't wait for God. Except God put in your heart something of the Spirit of Christ, which loves God, wants God. Think of that solemn man in the Old Testament. At that time when the Lord's judgment was about to be lifted. That siege was about to end. But before it ended, there was a man who said, why should I wait for the Lord anymore? Well, I believe it was the next day proved why he should wait for the Lord, but he didn't. He didn't. He saw the provision that the Lord made, but he had none of it for himself. Why not? If you really love the Lord, if you really want the Lord, if you really desire him above everything else, you'll wait as long as you have to. And you'll say, if I don't wait for him, I must lie down in despair. I will wait for him who hideth his face from the house of Jacob. Blessed is he that waiteth. Now, these prophecies in Daniel are wonderful prophecies for the whole church of God, because it's the subject of those prophecies they're waiting for. And you see, in these prophecies, there are things that will come to pass. Some of them already, many of them have already come to pass. And they are painful things through which the church of God had to pass. What made them wait? What makes them wait through those periods in which they are drinking, eating, the fulfillment of the painful path. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that is given unto them. What he endured. You see, in waiting, there is endurance. It's clear, isn't it, in our text? And it's clear in what the Lord went on to say to Daniel in the next verse. Go thy way till the end be. For thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Blessed is he that waiteth. We read of Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Why? He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He esteemed the reproach of Christ, greater riches than all the treasures in Egypt. Blessed is he that waiteth. He had all this prospect set before him in the house of Pharaoh. It's very likely, as the daughter of Pharaoh had taken him as her son, that he would have been in an extremely high position, if not made a Pharaoh himself. But that was nothing. Why? Because he had the Spirit of Christ in him. The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Now there are two sides of this, my dear friend. Firstly this. When the world smiles, what is that to one of these waiters? Nothing. Blessed is he that waiteth. When the world frowns, what is that to one of these waiters? Though darkness spread around our tent, hopes decline, dear Lord, thy people still are thine. No turns of providence abate God's care for those he once has loved. Oh, my dear friend, you're in a place tonight and you're in need of God's care. You feel it. And you know that no one can care for you but the Lord. Wait upon him for it. Cast all your care upon him, and you'll prove he careth for you. Blessed is he that waiteth, that endures the reproach that Christ endured, that endures in their measure the afflictions that Christ knew in the fullness of it, hated by the world, persecuted, a stranger, a pilgrim, blessed is he that waiteth. The Lord causes this, my dear friend, because the Lord will have this one to wait for him and wait upon him. He brings things to pass in their life. Things come along. Were it not for the Spirit of Christ in them, those things would turn them aside. And the child of God who truly knows something of their own heart will say with the hymn writer, when any turn from Zion's way, alas, what numbers do. Methinks I hear my Saviour say, will thou forsake me too? Alas, with such a heart as mine. I fear I shall at last prove like them, lest thou hold me fast. So that sinner is waiting upon the Lord to hold them fast. And the Lord does so. In this way, when something comes along that would turn this sinner away and turn them back, Christ, the Father, the Blessed Spirit are so caring for this person because of their love to him. They are so safe because they are kept by the power of God. They are afflicted. And now, these things that would have drawn them aside are not allowed to. Because what they need is the healing of their affliction. Ziklag must burn with fire. David's wives and children must be carried captive. The people, the men must speak of stoning him because God will have David wait upon him. And God puts David in such a situation. He's in such peril. He's in such distress. He's in such grief. There's nothing for him but to wait upon God. Does David up and go after that company, presuming in his own strength that he can find them and presuming that in his own strength he can overcome them? No. He encourages himself in the Lord his God. He waits upon him. Will thou have me pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? Pursue. Thou shalt without fail recover all. The waiter is a dependent one. Blessed is he that waiteth. I think of that other time when David had been given that victory over those enemies, the Philistines. But then they regrouped and there's got to be another battle. Now, naturally speaking, if David had not been kept from himself, he would have presumed, well, the Lord will give me a victory in the same way he gave me the first one. But no, he waits upon his God. And God tells him to do it in a different way. To come from a completely different direction. And he tells David exactly when to go. My dear friend, we don't know when to move. And nor do we have the power to move. The Lord told David, when thou shalt hear the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, bestir thyself and come upon them. Take a compass. That is, come from a completely different direction, David. But don't move until you hear the sound of the going in the tops of the mulberry trees. Blessed is he that waiteth. Because he that waiteth will inherit the kingdom. He that waiteth for Christ will have him. My dear friend, in the name of the Lord tonight, I can tell you from his word and from my own experience in a little measure, You will never wait for the Lord in vain. He may tarry off till men are faint and come at evening late, but he said he will come. And he's not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. Is there one here tonight and spiritually, you don't feel to know your right hand from your left, you don't know where you are? Don't move, my dear friend. You may think you've got to go back. There may be one here tonight, and you may have made a profession, and you may have been given now such a sight of yourself, and the devil may be so tempting you that he said, you must go tonight and tell the church. They made a mistake in receiving you. They must put you aside. No, my dear friend. Wait upon the Lord, and he will instruct you the way in which you shall walk. And however ignorant you are, wait upon him to teach you everything. My dear friend, this thought comes to me. You think how Christ waited upon his Father when his Father was hiding his face. You know these people that wait. A lot of that waiting period is spent with God hiding his face. Look how Christ prayed when his Father was smiting him. You know, if you in your experience are caused to pray to God when he's smiting you, that's because you have the Spirit of Christ. You're this blessed waiter. Did Christ wait on his Father in vain? Did he pray in vain, save me from the lion's mouth? No. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. But the prospect, that's what Daniel, that's what the prophecies of Daniel is all about, the prospect for the waiter. The prospect of the Lord in the finality of it coming again and gathering them to himself. The prospect of a better country that is unheavenly. And before that, the prospect of a better day. You see, the better day that the Lord promises his people is not only when they enter glory and see him face to face. Didn't the Jews have a prospect of a better day when the 70 years captivity was over? And they waited. And in that waiting, they acknowledged the just hand of God in the captivity. And in that waiting, they pleaded for the end of it. Blessed is he that waiteth, because the Lord will appear. On what ground did Jesus Christ wait upon his Father? He waited upon his Father on the ground of the Father's will in him, which was that he should shed his blood on Calvary's cross. Christ prevailed with his Father upon the terms of his righteousness, his precious blood. And what did he get? What did the Father give his Son? What was the end of that waiting? It was this. That exaltation at his Father's right hand. And what is the Son still waiting upon his Father regarding? On the ground of his one offering, his finished work, waiting for his Father to make his enemies his footstool. Because although he has, by his finished work, by his offering, he has destroyed him that had the power of death, what is the devil doing? He is still going up and down in this earth. He's still harassing you, child of God. He's still accusing you. He's still tempting you. He's still making you from time to time fall. But the Son knows that the day will come when Satan will be cast into hell. When all that church whom he has redeemed with his precious blood will be with him in glory and like him. See him as he is. And never, never sin. From the rivers of his grace drink endless pleasures in. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. I'm not going to even attempt to interpret what this means, other than I believe it sets forth the time of the end. Because surely, since it is spoken in this way, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to a certain day, surely that's the day when all the waiting will be over. Now, I make this point, it's God's appointed day. There shall be a day. You know, the Lord gives that promise. There shall be a day. He gives it concerning the day of every deliverance of his people. And he gives it concerning that final day, the day of their deliverance. Now, if you really wait for that day, every day of your waiting will be sanctified by him for whom you're waiting. This is the way of patience. Tribulation worketh patience. You see, in that tribulation, the Lord sanctifies it and gives you to wait for the end of it. And how are you to? The Lord giving you to believe it will come, but it will come at his time and in his way. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. They wait for the promised rest. They wait for that blessed rest in Christ, the rest that remaineth to the people of God. They wait for that standing in their lot at the end of the days, to be presented perfect, complete and entire, to stand in Christ forever and forever. Blessed is he that waiteth. Amen.
willing, there'll be a church meeting for a prayer meeting for church members on Friday evening at 8 o'clock. Mr. Timothy Barker is expected to preach on next Lord's Day, and Mr. Hadley next Tuesday evening. Let us now close with hymn 593. Jesus is a mighty Saviour. Helpless souls of here a friend. He has borne their misbehaviour, and his mercy knows no end. O ye helpless, come and on his grace depend. 593.
Do bless to us thy word. Pardon all that has been ours, do blot that out. Favour us, grant us the blessing of waiting upon thee and for thee. May thy people prove what the hymn writer said. How is it I find some sweetness in waiting for thee? Keep us safe. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us each. Amen.